The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Click. Okay. Hi, everybody. So tonight I'm going to talk about a supportive factor of loving kindness that I'm not sure is really talked about much at happy hour, but that is factor of calm or tranquility. And it's a supportive factor of mind for developing, deepening metta. And it also supports developing equanimity. And equanimity is important because it's what separates loving kindness from craving affection or attached affection. That little thread of equanimity in the loving kindness practice is what makes it a Brahma Vihara and not just an affectionate kind of emotion, right? So start out with the mythic story that some of you may have heard. It's a story of the elephant Nalagiri and the Buddha. And Nalagiri was a trained military elephant back in the time of the Buddha. And another member of the Buddha's Sangha, who did not wish him well, who wanted to sow the seeds of division in the Sangha, got this elephant drunk, enraged it, and then untied it and basically aimed it at the Buddha. So the, you know, you can imagine an enraged, drunk, huge beast hurtling itself at the Buddha. And the Buddha's attendant was with him and got really scared and like tried to get in front of the Buddha to block this elephant. I don't think that strategy would have worked, but he tried. And the Buddha said, no, let me handle this. And the way the myth goes, the Buddha's loving kindness, his metta, his calm were so strong that as this elephant rampaged towards him, it slowed to a walk, and then it kneeled down and offered its trunk and its shoulder for the Buddha to mount it, as anyone would mount an elephant in those days. Really quite remarkable. So that's the myth. I do not see this myth to suggest that any of you should attempt to meet aggression with nothing more than loving kindness and calm. That's not the point here. In fact, there's a story, the very famous meditation teacher, Sharon Salzberg, one of the first metta teachers in this country. She was in India going to visit her teacher in a rickshaw, and a person accosted them, attacked them, trying to steal her purse. And they eventually fought the guy off and continued the trip. But when she got to her teacher, Nindriji, she was quite shaken. And she said, "What should I have done?" And he looked at her with this great compassion and kindness in his eyes. And he said, "My dear, with all the loving kindness in your heart, you should have whacked him over the head with your umbrella." Right? So that's on the physical point, right? But loving kindness can, of course, de-escalate situations. I'm more interested at the moment in talking about the story of Nalagiri, this enraged elephant, as an analogy for how we relate to the animal nature, animal energies and drives in our own hearts and minds, and perhaps in those in others. In this analogy, the Buddha represents the calm, awakened metta mind, meets and transforms aggressive or misdirected rage unleashed by division, delusion. Our mind, when awake, infused with loving kindness, calm metta, can meet and transform our own animal drives too, right? To more kind of a purified energies capable of collaborating with our better nature, of supporting us as we ride them. It doesn't matter if these energies are greed or hatred, delusion, inappropriate desire, aggression, whatever. They can be met and transformed. So That's the notion. Since we don't talk much about calm or tranquility in happy hour, I'm just going to say a few words about it before we start meditating. So, calm is very different than boredom. And one of the differences is that there's not the aversion in the calm. There's not a resistance to calm. Instead, it's a kind of relaxation, a quiet happiness that can support a still more quiet happiness. And while it's not equanimity, it can be a great support for cultivating equanimity. One of the best ways to cultivate calm is to support the tranquility that's already there in any little corner of your body, your heart, your mind. And then relaxing the body without demanding, forcing, requiring, but rendering an invitation. One of my mentors invites us to drop this phrase in something like, may the body relax. Just dropping it in and seeing how it feels. And then may the heart relax. May the mind relax. Just noticing whatever the response is. The breath is also your ally, as it is in any meditation. Longer out-breaths, as many of you know, calm the nervous system down. But mostly, appreciating any calm that's already there. That helps it grow. Without expecting more, needing more. Okay, so that's my introduction. I'm going to turn off the ability to unmute in case we get more people in. And I'll turn it back on at the end, I promise. Just want to invite you now to settle in, settle back. If it's helpful to turn off your camera, you can do that. Make sure any alerts that might be prone to come up on your computer or on any other device are silenced, just for your own peace of mind. And softening the eyes, perhaps closing them. Softening the belly. And scanning through the body. If you haven't already, offering that invitation. May this body relax. One or two deeper than normal breaths can be helpful. Gently allowing the exhale to be longer than the inhale. And allowing the breath to return to something natural. But still, allowing the exhale to be longer if it wants to be, or even just noticing the exhale more than the inhale. Releasing tension from the day. And acknowledging any tension in the heart, the mind, the body that remains with kindness. Gentleness. Softening the eyes and the eye sockets. Maybe imagining a spreading of relaxation along the brow, the area between the eyes and behind the eyes. Almost like it's a still, perfectly mirror, quiet lake. And even allowing that image or sense, the spreading quiet lake, to spread through your heart, your chest, solar plexus, belly. Noticing the rhythm of the breath, the support beneath your body, cushion, mat, chair, and resting into that support. Noticing any feelings of relaxation, calming, and appreciating those feelings, even appreciating the intention towards tranquility. Allowing awareness to fill the whole body. Resting in the body. Resting on the rhythm of sensations of breath. And inviting on each out-breath, letting go, letting go, letting go, letting go. Relaxation to deepen with the letting go of each exhale. And at the end, the bottom of the next exhale, if it feels easeful, the invitation is to rest for a moment in the pause between the exhale and the inhale. perhaps holding it for just a microsecond longer, and it might naturally be there. Resting in that silence, that stillness. Appreciating any sensations that are arising that are pleasant. Acknowledging everything that's arising. Nothing left out. Now, calling to the heart, calling to the mind, a being who exudes calm kindness or inspires calm kindness in you, in this heart. Perhaps a visualization, an image of them. Maybe a felt sense of them in your heart or in the room, as if they're nearby. Or even an idea of them, seen or unseen. Feeling what it feels like to invoke their presence. And as they solidify, the idea of them becomes more present. Wishing them well. And perhaps, if it works for you, imagining them wishing you well. Breathing in, appreciating them, noticing. Breathing out is a quiet, gentle offering of goodwill, kindness, benevolence, care. if it's helpful to focus these intentions of kindness, friendliness with words, please do. I will offer a few. And please use your own in your own language, especially if you have ones who work well for you. The invitation to support calm and samadhi stability is to use very short phrases, even single words. Such as, be happy. Safe. Peaceful. Free. Happy. Safe. Peaceful. Free. Time to time, checking in, noticing whatever is there in the heart, in the mind, in the body. Savoring the good intentions, appreciating any calm, kindness, and acknowledging loving awareness. Anything else? Turning the attention to offering good wishes to this other one. Perhaps you might imagine dropping the wish like a drop of water into that still, quiet lake. Letting it ripple out from the heart center through the body. All corners of the body. All corners of the heart and mind. Now expanding the scope of the kindness, good wishes, to include yourself and this other one. May we be happy. Safe. Peaceful. Free. Perhaps imagining this kindness now like a wellspring within, a wellspring from deep in the calm of the body, feeding metta through the heart, the mind, the body, like the spring at the bottom of a placid, calm, clear lake. Now expanding the quiet ripples, calm ripples of kindness, love, friendliness, out further, perhaps staying with this other one, and both of you exuding this benevolence, this friendliness outwards. To those nearby, perhaps, household, neighborhood, human and non-human, whoever feels natural to be in its path. Gentle intentions. Kindness. time to time, checking in on the quality of the mindfulness, the awareness of the body and sensation, and greeting any of those, any feelings, with kind, loving awareness. Perhaps allowing a gentle half smile to the lips. Be happy. See. Peaceful. Free. Cultivating the intention of this kindness, awake to whatever is arising, meeting it with metta. Now the invitation is to expand the circle of metta outwards and unbounded in all directions, above and below, around and everywhere, allowing it to gently flow or ripple, meeting beings in its path. Beings that may come to mind. Any beings that might especially need it. Or just all beings, unknown beings. Be happy. Safe. Peaceful. Free. And for the last moments of this meditation, the invitation is to let go of any visualizations, beings, and allowing the heart and mind to bask or rest, savor or kindly meet, experience as it flows through this moment, this body, heart, and mind, just as it is. Become my custom, our custom when I'm teaching, I should say. The invitation is to stay with yourself, with your metta, and if you're comfortable, to turn on your video and to take a moment to offer kindness, friendliness, silently to each of your fellow happy hour Sangha mates. They've just got a tile, you can just wish it to the tile. Just to take a moment, trusting that each person is also offering you kindness and receiving that. Thank you. Appreciate that. If anyone would like to unmute and offer a short reflection or comment, the floor is open for a few minutes before we continue with the evening. One thing about introducing tranquility and calm into meditation is a lot of times folks feel less verbal. So just to acknowledge that and bow to it. If you'd rather put something in the chat, you could do that. Or you don't have to do anything at all. You can can just sit here and be for a moment or two. So the next invitation is for those who want to, and it's not a requirement. I'm going to open breakout groups. And the invitation is if you don't want to, but you want to be here till the end, you can just decline the invitation and I'll rebalance the groups as best I can. It's just going to be about 6 minutes. Perhaps offer to each other anything you want to share about how that was for you, or about how kindness and calm support each other in your practice or in your life. Either one. And if the conversation evolves elsewhere, that's fine too. So I'm about to set up the breakout rooms here. And let's see. Okay, so I will see you all in a little bit, or some of you in a little bit. Enjoy. Hey, welcome back, folks, as we're coming back in. People have about another 30 seconds, so it'll be another minute or two. Any thoughts about how that was for you? And you noticed anything you learned from what you said? Hi, everybody. Welcome back. So I'm curious if anyone wants to share how that was for you, what kind of, either about the meditation or about the conversation, something you learned. Yes, Neil.
I just found it super relaxing. Right. Super chill. I dozed a little, but it was okay. Sometimes I doze and I'm like, oh no, I'm sleeping here. Everything was just okay. It was really, I really found it just very nice and warm and, comforting.
Beautiful. It sounds like the calm then also touched into some equanimity for you. Like dozing, it's okay.
Yes, I would have to say it did. I hadn't thought of it, but yes.
Anything you take away from that experience beyond enjoying it?
Well, yeah, right. I mean, it's nice to be able to be settled that way. you know, right? Because there were lots of times in life, you know, I just flew today and my plane was like an hour and a half late in 5 minute increments, it seemed, you know, I sure could have like used, you know, this practice more at that time, you know, so I kind of, you know, I kind of try to want to remember, you know, that, you know, I'm able to pull this up.
Great. And part of this, these experiences are reference points, right? Even just remembering, oh, that's possible. Where's the calm in my body right now? Even if it's only in my little toe, where is it? Any others? Hi, Greg. Yes, please.
I'll share a little vignette that I actually shared with some people previously. I certainly haven't worked with elephants or made an elephant bow. I have worked with other large animals a fair amount, and I was just reflecting on a horse that outweighed me by about 1,000 pounds that I was given to work with, who had hospitalized two people previous to me getting him. Yeah, a friend of mine had ridden him, and he rode him by dint of physical capability. He's a very accomplished rodeo rider. I was kind of given him because I was kind of known as the guy who could get along with difficult horses. So, net on this is maintaining a sense of calm in that situation with an animal that has an exquisite nervous system who reacts roughly 9 times faster than you can as a human being. And experiencing the kind of provocation that you're dealing with, striking out and rearing and all this kind of stuff. But if you can maintain a sense of equanimity and calm, and that's key, and if you can transmit that sense of intent, which is both psychological and physical and is rapidly interpreted by this sense of animal, that over time, the proverbial many drops of rain wears the marble. And eventually over time, it took several months, but I managed to detune that animal and calm it down and smooth it out and actually made it rideable by people who were a little less capable. But it was really by dint of being calm in the face of extreme provocation, maintaining equanimity. So in that sense, I found the sort of the horse training thing to be great, a great spiritual training of a sort.
So. Great example and great practice. Thank you for sharing it. What you're talking about, I've heard described as a non-complementary response, which is the ability to respond on an emotional tenor, not by mirroring it, which is our tendency with other people and with animals, you know, faced with an aggressive dog or something like that, right? And that non-complementary response has been shown to short-circuit and eventually calm what otherwise might be an escalating situation. So it's beautiful to hear your story, and it also applies to our own internal landscape, right? Like, if I'm upset about being upset, what happens?
Up. Yeah, it's an interesting situation where if you can't win by physical intimidation, which if the horse is big enough and strong enough and violent enough, then you got to do something else. And that something else is, well, how do I attempt to change them by my example, which they pick up and resonate on what I always used to just call intent. I've seen it work. I've seen it work with angry range bulls too, which is interesting. So whatever the case.
Yeah, thank you. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a hospital chaplain, I'm often sent to the most upset family members, enraged and angry for the same reason. It also works with enraged humans. But if they're met with something approaching love, kindness, the intent, Greg, as you called it, it ripples through our soma, our being, as well as our language. So beautiful. We are approaching time very rapidly here. Probably time for one last short one or two word comment or a chat if you would like Otherwise, I'm going to just dedicate the merit. Thank you all. Going. Ah, Koblix, please. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. You're muted. This is a silent show and tell. Is that Guernica? Mm-hmm. You're still muted. We can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Yes, Guernica, Picasso, 1936, his reaction to the beginning of the Spanish Civil War with airplanes bombing a village.
Thank you. Another reason to maintain calm. So friends, we've reached the end of happy hour. Thank you so much for your practice, for coming, for sharing, whether you shared out loud or just in your hearts through practice. May this practice that we do here together, may it ripple out from us, from our hearts, outwards to the lives we touch, to the lives they touch, and the lives they touch, and so on. May all beings be happy, safe, peaceful, and free.
Thank you, Dawn.
Thank you, Dawn. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dawn.